Quarter to six, 51 degrees. And if we were running a little bit behind coming out of Compassion Radio, we've caught up. And the train's running on time. And we got our buddy Jason Cans in the line for the best 5 minutes of the day to start this Thursday, September 9th. Good morning.
Good morning.
We started yesterday.
Like a bus driver, where are you at?
Oh, the bus driver.
I was going to say, it's staying on schedule. You got to keep up with schedule.
And actually, it's funny you say that because, like, every time I talk about the trains running on time, it's actually like a Mussolini reference, right? It's actually what it's. And so I'm not meaning to invoke that. But yes, all right. So yesterday we started something that I'm looking forward to as we lead up to the debut of Letters to the Beloved, your incredible project of 6 years, this devotional commentary. The previous book from you was Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus, John 13 through 17, that Upper Room discourse. And so we're unpacking that verse by verse. But there was something that happened on Facebook yesterday. And boy, you posted a lot on Facebook. I had to scroll back quite a ways to get to this. But
it was a busy Facebook day.
Yeah, it was. So I want to just highlight this because, let's see, I think we're going to start off with what you actually wrote. So you talked about a last text exchange you had with your friend and mentor, Larry Crabb, happened a year ago. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so Larry was not one for texting. He was much more paper and pen sort of thing. But he did eventually get a phone. And when I finished up the early manuscript for Letters to the Beloved, I sent him a picture and I just said, "Hey, I mentioned to you about five years ago, 66 love letters had inspired me to write through the entire New Testament as though God was telling me about it. And I spent the last month going through my first round of edits and printed it out today. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it next, but it's been a labor of love." And he said, "Can you hard copy it to me, snail mail?" And so I printed out all 600 pages.
And I printed out. He casually says, "I printed out all 600 pages."
Yeah.
Which I'm your toner supplier. Since I'm your toner supplier, I love that. So.
Yes. Yes, that was definitely took up some toll there. But and so about 2 weeks later, he emailed me texted me again and said, "I finally got my copy of Exclusion and Embrace," which was a book by Miroslav Volf. And he said, "I'm into it 40 pages already. It's worth the price of the book. Now I'm torn. Do I juggle the manuscript I just received with you from Volf? I glanced at your manuscript. It seemed like seeing a prime rib that I'm eager to eat. A good dilemma. Thank you for both." And so that was the last text message I received from Larry before his death this summer. So, yeah.
And so here's the thing is that before we get to the actual words that Chuck DeGroat shared in the thread of that, let's just step back. As Chuck has written several different books. I think the latest is When Narcissism Comes to Church. And he's actually cited, if people are listening to this podcast, it's drawing a listenership all over about the rise and fall of Mars Hill. He's you hear him commenting in that. But his book, Wholehearted, really redirected your life. And so you think highly of him.
Yeah, I think there are certain books that I've had that have really grabbed me, and Wholeheartedness is definitely one of those. And I like everything that he's written, but that one, for some reason, really captured how I'm trying to live. And so, yeah, it was one I really enjoyed.
So you shared this little post on Facebook that you just about Larry Crabb and that, and this is all he wrote. But I mean, I just, as your close friend, I felt the encouragement, the wind in my sail for you.
Yeah.
He just simply says the fruit of that friendship overflows in your work. The fruit of that friendship with Larry Crabb overflows in your work. How'd you feel when you read that?
Man, I felt this warm sense of encouragement. Mm. I think the first, he has commented on things I've written in the past positively, and I've just been completely jazzed about it. But, and I was today or yesterday as well when I read that, but it was more, I think, just a sweet sense of affirmation. Really grateful for his words into my life. And, especially again, another author who I appreciate so much. and recognizing, you know, even on that thread. So here was Larry, you know, a year ago speaking life-giving words about my manuscript. And then a year later, Chuck DeGroat, another author who I really appreciate, doing the same thing. And encouragement is so important.
Absolutely. And one of Larry's books with Dan Allender, Encouragement, Key to Caring. So it is huge. It puts wins in our sail. It was fun for me as your friend when I saw that. I mean, I lit up and I'm like, oh, man, that just lit Jason's Christmas tree, right? So,
yeah.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, hopefully tomorrow.
Maybe I should hang wholeheartedness on the Christmas tree this year.
There we go. Get wholehearted ornaments. So, all right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll pick it up with Letters from the Beloved, unless something really exciting happens on social media. WWIB, good morning to Susan as we come up on 16 before 7 o'clock.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, everybody.
Yes.
It's a crisp morning. Reminds me of walking to school.
Yeah.
Except this is more fun than school. I almost said funner, but then you'd say, did she even go to school? So how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. The question I had for you this morning was, I was at lunch with someone yesterday.
Yes.
And there were not one, but two different flies that were kind of buzzing about him. And I couldn't help but imagine, like, what I'm thinking. You always are looking for radio stories. And so here we go. But I'm also like, what if in the restaurant there was somebody like, you know, on the staff who was had a fly swatter and just is going after him? I'm like, would that be good or bad?
Wow. You know, it would be good because then you wouldn't have to worry about it.
You want to get the flies, but then you're hitting the person.
Yeah, you're hitting the person. Right. And it'd be another person you'd have to tip.
And then all of a sudden you draw the attention from all the other tables.
Yeah. Remember those long yellow sticky strips people used to hang? Uh-huh. We don't do that anymore. Yeah. I wonder why.
I don't know.
But they're so
probably politically
unsightly.
Incorrect. Yeah. So yeah.
Even flies deserve to live.
Yeah. Wasn't there?
Where did you go to lunch?
Well, I'm just protecting the restaurant so they don't get the reputation.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because they had two flies. Okay. Got it. Because none of the rest of us ever have flies.
Question of the morning, what's the most embarrassing way or one of the most embarrassing ways you have injured yourself? Hashtag my silly injury. We have it on the WWIB Radio Facebook, and we would love to hear it in your own words, these stories. I cringe, but they're still hilarious. 715-396-1670. Leave a voicemail, 396-1670. Again, starting off on Facebook, what's the most embarrassing way you've hurt yourself? Wow, this... apparently, I'm not alone.
No. And that's one of the ways I comfort my children. When they were growing up, I'd say, someday we're all going to laugh about this as soon as we're done paying for the emergency room bill.
Right.
As soon as we're done crying, yeah.
That's right. You'll dine out on this for months. It's a great story. So, are we going to read some of the listener ones?
Let's read some of them from Facebook. Can I just jump right in? Because this was one of my favorites. And again, like, I hurt for you. But still, Brooke says, in response to what's the most embarrassing way you've hurt yourself, I broke my ankle while playing Skip It while wearing my mom's high heels. When I was 8 years old.
Oh, man.
Brooke.
Catherine says, I stabbed myself in the arm with a butcher knife while carving a jack-o'-lantern after I couldn't find my special safety carving kit.
Oh.
Just go ahead. I'll probably
It'll
be fine.
Rebecca says, probably getting a concussion by hitting my head while trying to get into my car.
Aww.
Oh, Rebecca, again, in answer to what's the most embarrassing way you have hurt yourself. Let's see. How about this one? Janelle says, I broke a bone in my hand falling off a bike in the garage after a bike ride.
She was almost there.
Almost made it. Almost back to safety.
Navigated a bike ride safely till the last one. Let's see. I know Jody was talking. I'm just going to say this by memory. I laughed so hard I lost my place. Jody from Aliva said that she finally got permission from her parents to walk home from school instead of riding the bus, and it was 2 miles. She saw the bus, and she wanted to beat it home and convinced she could run.
Wow.
And she tripped and fell, and of course, every bus passenger saw her shame.
Oh, Jody.
Poor thing. But I love the ambition, girl. keep putting yourself out there.
She limped home. Julie says she broke her arm while sledding down a gravel pit in seventh grade, ended up with three surgeries, a week in the hospital, and the stomach flu from the doctor.
Aww.
A few years later, she says she was reaching for her seatbelt, slammed her finger in the door, and broke it.
Ow.
Seriously, she says.
Again, hashtag my silly injury. What's the most embarrassing way you've hurt yourself from the WWIB Facebook page? We'd love your calls at 396-1670. One more here from me. Brittany says this. My high school is under some minor construction, and I was reading and walking. Someone yelled for me to watch out. I ran right into a pole in the hallway. I had to respond with a gif of Belle from Beauty and the Beast
right.
to Brittany because that's what it reminded me of.
Aww.
Poor Brittany.
I remember this wasn't funny, but Catherine, when she was little, she found out she couldn't go someplace that she wanted to go. So she went with her blanket. She's like, and she pulled out her front teeth.
Oh, I hope they were loose.
Well, they grew in really beautifully straight. So, I don't think they were.
Silly injuries, right?
Yeah. So silly. Thousands of dollars worth of. I'm going to go first.
All right. Okay. And again, we've been asking you, what's the most embarrassing way you've hurt yourself? Hashtag my silly injury on the WIB Facebook page. We'd love to hear your stories at 715-396-1670. Leave a voicemail. But again, it would be unbecoming of us to ask you for yours without sharing ours. So
2018, I'm in my backyard. It's summertime. We have a really cool neighborhood, lots of different things going on. I didn't realize we had a guy who has a petting zoo. So I didn't know this at the time. There was a peacock that kept showing up in our yard.
Oh,
and one day I said, I'm going to film this peacock. This is unusual. This is interesting.
Back in 2018 that it would be the namesake of a streaming service just 3 years
yeah,
later.
Yeah, right.
So I'm filming it. And then actually as I'm filming, I take a terrible tumble, ruining my rotator cuff, needing surgery. As I'm recovering with my arm up 3 days later, I get a text from an unknown number that says, hi, my name is Justin. I heard that you may have found my peacock. His name is Robert. If you see him, give me a call. I'm like, okay, Robert.
I can lift my arm high enough to give you a call.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, Robert is my nemesis. Haven't seen him since.
Beat that
anyway.
Torn rotator cuff filming a peacock. So mine actually happened twice, kind of a fool me once type of a situation here. First happened in college. So again, the dorm Brock Hall, where we hung out. And so basically at my university, that's where a lot of the couples would hang out watching movies and things like that in the lounge of the dorm. And a lot of glass in there, pretty expensive, added to the tuition cost, I'm sure. And as I was walking through at one point, I don't know what distracted me. I wasn't as attached to my phone back then because I didn't have a smartphone. But I missed the door. Again, remember a lot of glass. I missed the door and I walked straight into a pane of glass with a resounding thump.
Oh.
And every single couple in that lounge looked up as I rebounded off the glass.
Oh, man.
And stumbled away up to my room.
Oh, were you stunned?
I was very stunned.
Well, at least that was the only time that ever happened to
you. Wouldn't that be nice?
Au contraire.
Fast forward, 33 years old, last summer, parking lot picnics. I'm walking with Caroline from our sales department and Matt Selvig of Brewpub Latza Matza Pizza. It was one of our parking lot picnics where Brewpub was there, and I was talking animatedly to them about the things we were getting ready for the day. We also have a glass door and glass panes. The very front of our building here. I did it again. I walked right into this pane of glass and stumbled backward, and I hear the melodious tunes of Matt Selvig busting a gut laughing at me. Now, you remember, this is kind of summer, and it's hot. I'm sweating a little bit. I left a greasy face imprint on said window. My face hurt for the rest of the day, and then Michelle from Mid-Mornings, in her great kindness, drew a chalk outline with marker on the window of the impression my face had made.
She's a stinker.
Wow.
So all those stickers on our window, I thought they were for little birds.
Nope,
so they're
for
you.
It's to help me see where the window is.
Got it. Okay, Mark.
Well, I asked for mine to go last because I thought it was the most embarrassing of all, and without knowing your stories. And here's what happened. I didn't get married till I was 34, so I lived in various situations, including with a family who I lived with twice. And one of the times I lived with them, they had a lower level bedroom, and they had redone, I think, the wallpaper. But in doing that, they'd shifted the furniture. And so when I got up for my early morning job, it was sort of dark and I didn't put the light on. And I just thought, you know, I'll make it through as I always had. But this particular day, I tripped over the couch in its new position, bashing my chin on the corner of this couch and getting a pretty significant gash that remains. The scar remains to this day.
Oh.
But I had to come into work. At that particular point, I think the Compassion radio show was on cassette and someone had to start the cassette. And so I'm driving in with, you know, putting a towel on there. The blood and the cut was significant enough that once I got the show rolling, I talked to then farm director Jerry Erdahl and I think called Greg Stewart, and off to the hospital I went to get stitches.
You poor thing.
Look at this man's faithfulness that he would come in bleeding from the throat and chin to get Compassion Radio on the air.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So now you turn lights on every morning,
you know,
I bet.
This morning, I don't want to trip over the backyard fence.
Hi, this is Sylvia from Sirona. Don't stand on a folding chair to reach something from a shelf. Okay, I'm teaching preschool. The students weren't there, but I needed something, and I just did the quick route, which wasn't so quick, and collapsed and broke my ankle. Mm. But by the time I was wheeled out of the center, the children were all there, and everyone went home and told their mommies not to stand on chairs because Mrs. Isaacson hurt herself. God bless you.
I guess something good came out of it then through the pain. Out, Sylvia. Hope you're fully recovered.
That's quite a good lesson and memorable.
Now you can see why I really appreciate having heard my story around 7:45. You can appreciate tripping over the ottoman or a couch is something that's possible. The Dick Van Dyke Show referenced here.
So. I'm starting to believe we've all done this. What's an embarrassing way that you have hurt yourself? Hashtag my silly injury on the WWIB radio Facebook page, where we are getting responses that are just gold. Painfully golden, but golden. Such as these. Steve says, in response to what's the most embarrassing way you've hurt yourself, this is a true story. He says, last day of school, my freshman year, I was riding home on my bike. We got out early, so it was sometime shortly afternoon. Living on West Main, there's quite a hill, and you could get up some good speed going down it. He says, about halfway down the hill, I spotted a girl who I knew and was kind of fond of. She was on the opposite side of the street and walking the same direction I was heading. I wanted to get a look at her face, and just as I got even with her, I ran into the back of a parked car, flew right over the roof, and bounced over the hood and onto the pavement. Again, poor freshman Steve, he says, when I looked up, the girl was bent over double from laughing so hard. And then someone helpfully responded, she wasn't the one.
Oh, my.
Right.
Probably not a future nurse.
No.
Sure she did well.
Well, this one struck me because this is very typical of something our family would do. You know when you drop a piece of paper on the floor?
Yeah.
And then you tear ligaments in your leg? Poor Rob. He said, I tore ligaments in my knee after falling out of my office chair trying to pick up a piece of paper that fell on the floor. Mm. My foot wrapped around the leg of my desk. And when I fell, it messed up my knee big time.
Ow.
Poor fella.
Oh, man. How about Leah? She says, my son in high school gym class ran into another boy, both looking at a ball and unaware of a head-on collision, and broke his front tooth off. later, the other boy was in the ER for stitches, and as they were looking at the gash in his head, they found my son's tooth.
What did they do with it then? Again, most embarrassing way you've hurt yourself on the WWIB Radio Facebook page. Caleb, Mark, and Susan with you on the WIB Wake Up Show. Kathy responds on the WIB Radio Facebook page with this. I was running into the kitchen, hit the throw rug on my mom's freshly waxed floor, slid feet first into the wall, broke two toes.
Mm.
Ouch.
Jill says, in high school on a field trip to a big office building, I fainted and fell right into one of those huge canvas mail carts. They had to grab my arms and legs to get me out because I was out cold.
Oh, man.
So lots of tough stories, and you can check them out yourself or share yours on the WIB Facebook page, WWIB.
Can I share one more that resonates with me so much as I'm reaching middle age? Travis, with his most embarrassing injury, he said, a complete tear of a quad muscle. I was a 30-something in a middle school yard game of kickball and was going for the fence.
Ah.
And he tore up his quad. I could totally see myself doing something like
man.
That. That's why my wife says, stretch, stretch.
Yeah,
you're not as young
stretching.
As you used to be. We are pleased to be joined by Melinda Gardner from Apple Pregnancy Care Center in Eau Claire. Melinda, welcome. It's that time of year again, the Walk for Life. And actually, it's been an extra year since this has happened.
Right. Last year, we did a virtual walk, which was surprisingly easy.
Yeah.
and what was really great about it was you raised, the people, our supporters, raised
$30,000. Praise the Lord.
And we didn't even walk. That's not totally true. Dan and I and my pastor and his wife and a couple of other people went down and walked that day.
Yeah.
And I got down there and I'm like, this is really sad.
Aww.
This feels sad to me. And but yeah, people still really showed up, and that was amazing.
So sad no longer.
I know.
Meeting in person this year on Saturday, September 18th.
Right.
At Owen Park.
Yep.
And so Walk for Life is a fundraiser, probably your biggest fundraiser of the year, correct?
It is, yes.
So you're looking for people to?
I'm looking for people to, we are, to go to, you can go to friendsofapple.org, and you can actually sign up. You can make your own little website and send it out to your friends on
wow.
Facebook. And it's wonderful. We have a really great company that we work with that does that. It's called Ministry Sync Fund Easy. And we just punch it in and there it is. So you can put, here's why I'm walking, and put your own pictures up. And we're halfway to the goal already. And on that website. And that doesn't include people who will just send in checks or show up day of the walk.
Wow.
So you can give online.
You sure can.
I love it. That's so easy.
Right.
Melinda, not on this Walk for Life brochure, but I think in the poster we have out here, it talks about 40 years.
Right.
So, and you've been the only director the whole time. So, and we talked, it was years ago when we talked about you were the longest serving director in the country. And so you're like the Cal Ripken Jr. of Pregnancy Care Center directors. I mean, you keep it going, huh?
Right. At this point, you know, and some people are starting to ask me, when are you retiring? I'm like, is there something you want to say to me? I will know when it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of that is about, you know, am I still feeling like we're effective, and, you know, do I still love what I do?
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like that's where God has put me. And so
is there any way you've seen things change from the beginning? I mean, okay, so many ways, but what stands out in terms of the different playing field of 2021 to the early 80s?
You know, 40 years ago, there was abortion on demand, but it was in a totally different way than it is now. The way people talk about it now, it really just shocks me. The fact that places are boycotting Texas now because they're standing for the unborn, and you know, that it's changed in that way a lot. It's also changed in the way that there used to be more secrecy with an unplanned pregnancy, I think, than there is now. And everybody lives together. And, you know, it's just the culture has really changed in that way, for sure.
Huh. Well, I got the mail the other day, and there was a not political, it was a nonprofit that wanted to fight what was going on in Texas. Mm. And Phil said, should we give? And I said, if you want to, that's good. But I know that the Walk for Life is coming up, and I feel my money is much better spent in my community. Mm. So those who feel called to give to those political causes, thank you.
Uh-huh.
But it's a no-brainer for me, because I myself have benefited from the counseling and things you've offered, because you don't leave it just at the crisis pregnancy. You deal with women who are struggling with guilt and shame and sadness, and maybe they don't even know what, because they've ended their own pregnancy.
Right.
And if they need help, you're there. No judgment. Just like, well, here's why you're sad, sweetheart.
Yeah.
And you've helped hundreds of women.
That's very true. And you know, I love that part of it. I love getting to watch women walk through that post-abortion stuff and go, oh, I can live my life in a totally different way
right.
now. There are many, many women sitting in our churches in particular who have that as part of their story. And it's the big secret, because if you knew who I really was, you wouldn't love me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. And that's not who our Lord is.
No.
And so, you know, to get them past that is really important.
Yeah. And I think if people can experience acceptance from you and the other counselors at Apple, right, how much more can they count on Jesus loving them?
Absolutely.
So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you, Susan.
Again, we're talking here on the WIB Wake Up Show with Melinda Gardner from Apple Pregnancy Care Center in Eau Claire. Owen Park, September 18th. So that's a week from this Saturday.
Right.
Registration 9 to 10 a.m. The Walk for Life begins at 10 a.m. So it's been 2 years, but now, again, folks are able to gather together. I know you mentioned off the air a goal of $30,000 or more to support all of the life-saving, life-giving programming that you have, and that's not just for the unborn child, that's for the mother, as Susan just mentioned. I mean, it kind of gives me chills, because we think about these women saying, no one could love me,
mm-hmm,
because I have this guilt and I have this shame. And it's like, no, you are loved wildly by a God who sent his son for your redemption, to free you from that guilt and shame, and to let you know that you can walk about in freedom and in the life that is truly life. And so, again, we're talking about life in every sense of it when we say walking for life.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it's not just women. We see guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fathers are, you know, they want to know how to be a good dad. And we do that kind of stuff, too. And we have people that come in every week and learn from a curriculum that's everything from, you know, what's happening in the first trimester to how to potty train your child. I mean, and life skills and mm-hmm. and money issues and all of those things. We have people that come literally for years. Mm. And every week that you come, you get to, we print money in our office. Don't tell anybody. And so they get Apple Bucks, and they get to spend those Apple Bucks in our rooms. We have, I think it's 6 rooms downstairs full of maternity clothes, baby clothes, cribs, car seats, strollers.
Diapers.
That's a huge one. Diapers, formula, wipes, all of those kinds of things. And let me tell you, one thing that this pandemic has done is make people clean out their closets.
Yeah.
And we have so much stuff that we can be extra generous. But we love the fact that they will do it an emergency thing for you. But then we'll tell you about the program and say, come in and learn. And every week you can walk away with the things that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And they get this real sense of satisfaction out of that.
So again, the Walk for Life that we're talking about, Apple Pregnancy Care Center, the Owen Park in Eau Claire. It is next Saturday, the 18th. The walk begins at 10, registration 9 to 10. But you'd love it if people went to friendsofapple.org and get signed up and start getting some supporters. Friendsofapple.org. Thank you, Melinda.
Thank you. And
Thanks,
Mark, thank you for being on our board in mm-hmm. the 90s.
Yeah,
I just wanted to mention that.
A few years ago at Susan's daughter's wedding, we had a little reunion. You and I and Karen, Hey Baron.
That's right.